Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Down the blind, Andrew John. Inside for Elba. Elba will score. Elba will score. Newcastle have won.
Okay, now it's time for Warriors defeating South 34-4 and
speaking
out.
Speaking of disasters.
Ooh, put the boot in there.
Yep.
Did the Tigers win on the weekend?
Let's not deviate from what's right in front of us. We'll get to the Tigers, who are robbed later.
All right, let's get into the game. Let's just get straight into some Egan Love. Mate, he was unbelievable. Now, I got it in my notes here. That play... in my notes, it's getting okay. That play with Charles Nicklestad was a masterclass in space and awareness. So Charles Nicklestad, they get a normal play of the ball, maybe a little bit quick. Nicklestad sits in his left pocket, so the other side of the ruck, and then Tohu Harris looks like he's hitting an unders line behind the markers. So you've got your markers, you've got your A defenders. A defenders are your first defenders. And there's usually a gap between those two that has to be filled. It's a brave run, but it's a tough run. But it's a good run if you can get it. But the dummy half has to have the ability to hold that A marker. Anyway, so that he gets out, he holds that A marker, and then Tohu Harris hits an overs line, which pulls the A defender apart and creates a huge gap. And as that happens, Charles Nicklestad wraps around to Egan's right pocket. Egan doesn't even look. He just throws the ball up into the space where Charles should be, and he goes straight through. The only way you can defend that play is if you've identified that it's happening before it happens. It was an absolute masterclass. And to top it all off, to make it even better, we spoke about it earlier in this game, Damien Cook having no one supporting him. With a play that happened that quickly, silkily, he had multiple options once he broke the line. Charles Nicklestad inside and outside him to score the try. It was arguably, in my opinion, one of the plays of the year so far, how well it was executed. And that is a masterful coach understanding spacing around the ruck.
Webby, at the moment for me, is a red-hot favourite for back-to-back coach of the year. Mm. What he's doing with that side is incredible. And this is, I was going to say, the first time he's had his full strength squad, he still doesn't have it.
Well, he's missing Walker.
DWZ, Nikore, Metcalf, starting 5'8". Mm. I mean, like, they're just... They're, and like we spoke about it a few weeks ago, they started 0-2. And
Montoya as well, eh?
No, he played...
No, DWZ, sorry.
DWZ, yeah. They started 0-2 a couple of weeks ago, and it was just so evident there was a fantastic footy side there. I bagged them all preseason. It was completely fucking wrong. They've now won three in a row. They could win every game until Penrith in Magic Round. Mate. Genuinely, they're playing that good, and I'm filthy because I think that Magic Round game is going to be the Sunday afternoon game, so we're going to miss that one, I
think. What are you talking about, Orange? The headline is the Tigers versus Dolphins is after that game as well, so sure you're staying. Sunday 6:15.
Are you going to hang around?
Yeah.
Yep, what about that jersey, by the way? We haven't spoken about it yet. The LG Magpies.
Go Pies. We're back at one of our spiritual homes this weekend, so I thought I'd get around the boys.
Just on that too, Keith Barnes passed away this morning, one of the great Balmain Tigers of all time, Golden Boots.
Vale. Rest in peace. Mm. Timmy?
Yeah, it was. I'm glad you mentioned that Wade Egan and that exact play came, because I had it top of my notes as well. And we often refer to his importance in this team and how crafty he is around the ruck.
Mm.
And that was the perfect example of it. You broke it down nicely, and just to tip it off, just that little double pump to Chance to drag in Cookie just that little bit extra.
Mm.
It was exactly what we've said the whole time. He's so crafty around the ruck. It was the best example I've seen of it.
Mate, it's beautiful. Like, and the thing is it's such a well-crafted play, because if Chance sits on his right pocket, then the defence looks up and goes, oh, what they're going to do is that old Billy Slater, Cam Smith to Kronk to Billy Slater play. You hit Kronk and then Billy Slater's on the inside and the gap opens up. But because Chance hit on that short side, and because the timing has to be so precise that Egan is not putting, he's not passing the ball to Chance, he's just popping it up. And Chance needs to be there. Like, the timing of that is beautiful. And so the reason why it's such a masterful play is that the reason why it works is if the defence is doing their job, it should work. So if the A marker is making sure he's got the dummy half, if the marker is doing his job, he's got the dummy half. If the A defender is doing his job and making sure Tohu Harris is taken, then it should work. It actually is one of those plays, is it actually won't work against lazy shit defense. So for example, if that A defender just goes, fuck it, I'm not even going to check Tohu, and just stands there, he's going to be in the way. And you're going to be like, so it's just a beautiful play. Beautiful play. And just that added little extra bit of special touches with Chan sitting in the left pocket. Just to hide his run. Just beautiful. Seriously beautiful stuff.
I just love, we mentioned last week in terms of the Warriors sort of emulating the Penrith Panthers and their style with the big powerful back three and their yardage and the way they sort of are copying the way of that style of football. But in terms of just their depth as well, like, what do we say about Penrith? When one man goes down, it's next man up mentality, and whoever comes in does a job. Mate, it's been the same thing at the Warriors last season, and then again, evidently this season. And Tamari Martin, he's the perfect example of that, because Tamari and Luke Metcalf are very different 5'8s. Like, Tamari Martin's a better ball player, a bit more silky. Luke Metcalf, a stronger ball runner. But he came in and he just looked like what Luke Metcalf had been doing. They know that SJ is there running the show. He's got the keys to the team and he runs it all. But Tamari Martin was just pushing up in support. When he got a quick play of the ball, he'd go stuff it and he'd pin it and he'd back himself and take the line on. He did exactly what Luke Metcalf's been successful with this year.
Mate, I totally agree with you. It was in my, he was actually my sixth in team of the week until I was like, oh, Burton, he's my sixth. I thought Tamari Martin was outstanding, and I can't believe how much his ball running has improved. Like, you know, and understandably so, even before the head injuries and that, sometimes he was almost tentative to go to the line. He was just pure ball player. Like, but I can't believe, he must have put some muscle mass on or something, because the amount of times he pushed through that first tackle, genuinely shocking. And the scary thing for the Warriors is, although Metcalf is their first choice six, or was their first choice six, they might look better with Tamari Martin at six.
Keep in mind with Tamari Martin, like, it wasn't that long ago he was told to retire because, was it bleeding on his brain?
Yeah.
Yeah, crazy.
Like, it's just, what?
He had two line breaks.
How many human beings that would ever play sport, let alone contact sport again after that?
He had a try assist, 7 runs, 85 metres, 3 tackle breaks, 2 line breaks, 22 tackles.
And without taking anything away from Tamari Martin, if Chanel Harris-Tavita was there, he would have done the exact same thing as well. Mm. It's just how good this system is.
Yeah, it's just, mate, I'm genuinely impressed at how good Tamari Martin looks. And I just, if he can hit his ceiling plus get a running game, holy, geez, going to be unstoppable. Another, you know, fact that I think that, you know, reflecting it onto the Rabbitohs, that's a real big concern, is that Sean Johnson, 633 kick meters. And it is getting to the point where if you don't have a 6 or a 7 with a big boot, you will not play towards the end of the season. Like, as in the top four, you won't get close to a prelim, because all of the best teams have a 7 that can just kick you off the park. And I look across to the Rabbitohs, Dean Hawkins, 8 kicks, 313 metres. Cody Walker, 5 kicks, 164 metres. And look, I understand that they, just looking at their time in possession, I mean, they had 45% possession. So it's 45% possession of the ball, so not too bad. But the concern with the Rabbitohs that's even, you know, on top of all their other concerns is that they don't have a half that can kick a ball as deep as most of the top teams.
Well, I think the Roosters have a similar problem with that at times as well. Like, Sammy Wall can time a ball. He's got a big kick on him at times, but there's also times where between him and Luke Keary, they just lack that long kicking game a little bit.
Massive, massive. But anyway, we'll stay on the Warriors. Who stood out for you?
I want to give a big rap to a guy that stat sheet-wise, you read it, doesn't really stand out to you, but Rocco Berry. Defensively, he was so good. And that try that he scored, talk about bravery lines.
Oh, mate.
Right up there.
And again, we've spoken about it so often, but I think that he's got so much potential left in his game. And what I love about his game is if you don't watch the game, you think, this centre for the Warriors is doing fucking nothing. But you watch the game, similar-ish to Barnett. I know Barnett's stats are quite good, but you need the right mix of players. RTS, he's your showstopper. He's the guy that's going to be on the highlight reel. And then you need other guys, like Wayne Bennett used to do this really well. He'd balance his side. On one side, he'd have showstoppers. On the other side, he'd have battlers that just get through work and tackle really well. The amount of little, like 1% plays that Berry does and just you can't get him on the stat sheet, it's almost every game.
Yeah, and for the rest of the season, when DWZ is back and he scores his 20 tries that Charge puts him over for and everyone will compliment Charge at DWZ, it's the line that Rocco Berry runs every single time perfectly that does as much work for it, but there's no stat for it.
No stat for it, and I'm so excited to see how much he improves over the next 24 months because, he's in his third year of rugby league after Union?
I'd love to see it be some form of stat in rugby league, like the decoys that guys are running to create tries.
Yeah, how much space is created or something.
Something along that, because it is so important. If they're not there, it doesn't happen.
Well, I mean, when you watch the lower tier teams go out, like do their players, attacking players, the first thing you notice is how lazy that lead line run is. You're like, no one's fallen for that at all. Like, you are literally yelling to the other team, I'm not getting the ball. You may as well stop and yell that with how hard you're running that line.
And there's also layers to it that, you know, when Rocco Berry does it, he doesn't get penalised for it. Because right now, if I'm coaching the NRL and there's someone running a lead run, I'm going, you run into that guy.
Yeah.
You charge into him. You make it look like an obstruction every day of the week. It should be a very important stat in rugby league.
Mate, speaking of lines, Jackson Ford. Mate, they're the hardest, most straight lines I've seen since Boyd Corner.
Yep.
Like, he is fucking absolutely nailing that unders line. It's, what is it, the second week in a row where he's just gone straight through because the line's been so hectic? He had one error towards the end, but I didn't think that was his fault. I thought that he got a hospital ball and basically got tackled, he got it. Outside of that, geez, he's improved. Like, in a side that has Nikota coming back, Kate Weller as well on the other side, to think that he is the first picked back rower just shows you how far he's come.
I'm going to sound like a dick, but without putting the shoe into the Dragons, mate, he hasn't even improved that much. This has just always been him. They just never gave him an opportunity.
Yeah, and that's not even the current Dragons. I mean, it's the old, administration that let him go. So,
mate, like you talk to any Dragons fans or anyone that was watching them play in New South Wales Cup, and they're just sitting there going, the fuck isn't Ford getting a bait in this team? It's ridiculous.
Adam Fanua Blake, once again, he's getting into Payne-Haas areas where, he probably got into Payne-Haas areas last year, but once again, another year, huge numbers, and you expect it. You like genuinely expect him to do something special.
Almost 200 metres on the weekend again, 82 post-contact, absolute machine. And it's just, you sort of wonder what's going to happen when he leaves next year. How do you replace that? Like, I know we don't even almost, we just gloss over it now. We just kind of expect it, but that is a huge hole to fill for next year. So hopefully they can strike while the iron's hot this year while they got him.
Had to speak about it. It's negative, but Tavanga, I thought, had a Barry. Especially that first half. Just like, holy shit, it just was not working for him. In a side that, spots are so hard to come by full strength, just got to sort that kind of game in his repertoire out.
He's always had these in him, hasn't he, Jazz? He's tough as nails, but... yeah, he's always had a few errors in him. And you're right, mate. Like when you've got, Marasa Neokore, Dylan Walker coming back over the next few weeks.
Laban was really good when he came on.
I think Neokore is longer term now. He had the foot injury, but I think it flared up.
Yeah, you're right, actually. Yeah.
I think he's gone till maybe like around 12 or 13 or something. Dylan Walker, who he gets named it last few weeks and just keeps dropping out. He must be super close. Sure. So,
well, he wasn't even named this week.
Wasn't even named.
The 2 weeks previous he wasn't, didn't play.
It's been
play.
Weird.
And you've got Harris Tavita. Laban coming through well. Ali Leatua, he's named at 18th man, so that's interesting. Jeez, he must be close, the big fella. Oh, I can't wait to see that centre just ripping and tearing. Yeah, look, Warriors absolutely are a premiership threat. This is the best I've seen the Warriors look probably since their grand final, maybe even better. Seriously. I don't remember their whole year in their grand final, game by game, but I can't remember a Warriors side where heading into the weekend, you knew you were going to get an eight out of 10 each week.
Yeah, and we spoke about it last year during the season. I know that, you know, I was pretty vocal about it. Pissed a lot of Warrior fans off, but I said to them all last year, like, you look great, but I don't think you can compete with those big sides. Now they are a big side.
They're a big side.
I cannot wait for that Magic Round game against Penrith.
Yeah. I think they're the second best looking team in the NRL right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't push too hard. Yeah, you know what? Panthers and Warriors. Yeah, I agree. So at the moment, I'd go Panthers, Warriors, Storm, Broncos in how they've looked.
Yep.
Warriors, $15 in the comp.
Ooh, juicy.
Really?
Juicy.
What do I feel like a top four finish at the moment? Sorry to be on the spot. But
no, that's okay. I'll get back to you.
Yeah, sweet.
I'll pull it up here.
Nice guru. You did put him on the spot.
I did put him on the spot. I wasn't that sorry either.
$3, top four finish.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
But on your feed, mate.
I'd go for a feed later, actually. Always keen for a feed?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Chicken or steak?
Warriors $3 for me.
I'm talking about betting. Go for on sports bet feed. You can all follow me. And I like to call it going for a feed. Anyway.
Seamless integration there.
Okay. All this positivity. I need to bring it down with some negativity. Rabbitohs. Okay. Okay.
$15 bucks to win the spoon, Rabbitohs.
Holy shit.
Do you want a top four as well, Guru? Are you right?
Okay. The biggest talking point, obviously, Latrell Mitchell. He gets suspended. Brain explosion. Absolute brain explosion. Clearly a superstar that is extremely frustrated, with his own form, with everything going on the club, with all the noise around it. You know, pretty lucky not to get sent 10 in the bin for that. Look, there's a silver lining here. I do actually think Latrell probably does need 3 weeks to – not just Latrell. Because the thing is everyone's going to try to focus on Latrell and say, like, he is the problem. Mate, there are so many more problems at that club. His form is just one of those problems at the moment. To say that he is the main problem, I don't think that's true. But I actually think that watching Trell play on the weekend, that looked like a player that all the headlines, all the noise, all the negativity, it didn't look like a player that was enjoying being out there. So although losing a player of his caliber is never a good thing, the silver lining is this. You take away, you go, okay, boys, Latrell is out for 3 weeks. Let's reset here. Trell, you can, you go back to training, you rip and tear, and you show the boys how much you do love this club, and people, I know people like to think that he doesn't love the club, but you have to remember Latrell's on unders at the club right now. He has been offered substantially more money to go out of the clubs, but he stayed at the Rabbitohs for unders because he believed in, the premiership, everything. Now, I know that that's not reflecting at the moment with form-wise, that it's not been the best last few weeks for him. So basically, you're as a club, sometimes you need big dramatic moments that help you reset the cycle or reset everything. So you go away, you go, okay, Trell, mate, just come to training, rip and tear. And yes, you're not playing on the weekend, but you've got an opportunity to show all the boys that you're still in the fight, that you still want to fight with the boys. On top of that, it gives a guy like Gray an opportunity in first grade at fullback so that if he comes in and plays really well, Latrell, when he's playing well, is 100% one of the best fullbacks in the game. Latrell currently, with all the dramas going on with the form and everything like that, maybe Jai at the back for now and him at centres is the best for everyone. And that could be that opportunity wouldn't have come about without this situation happening. So Demetrio has an opportunity to bring Gray in, and it looks like he's going to debut. He's been killing in the New South Wales Cup. If he does kill it, then maybe you go, Trell, look, mate, let's just simplify things for you. Get in the centres. We give you a good ball. You don't have to worry about all the shit of getting the boys around the park and all that kind of stuff, and just get back to enjoying rugby league. And then you look at your halves and you go, do we bring Jackie Whiten in? Do we not bring Jackie Whiten in? Again, this moment, yes, it's a negative, but you can turn it into a positive for everyone. The problem is, and we spoke about, you know, Latrell isn't the problem. He's just one, his form is just one of it. There are so many more wrong things at that club right now. And I don't think that at the moment it has the leadership to get itself out of the situation it finds itself in. And I think that the administration need to be held accountable for this. They're the ones that re-signed Demetrio on a three-year deal last year at the start of the bad run that they went on. I think it's a three-year deal. Now, granted, there is a nine-month clause where they only have to pay him out 9 months. But yes, we should hold the players accountable. Tell me a single player in that team that's playing good footy. So if all of them are playing bad footy, then who do we look at then next? It has to be the coach and it has to be the administration. Unfortunately, that's just the way it is. If there were a few good players playing really good footy, then you could go, okay, maybe it's just a mixture of things. So look, if I'm Demetrio, it's a huge opportunity to turn things around. It's a huge opportunity to try things. But unfortunately, I think that that club is in way more dramas than just the form of the players on the field.
Guru, can you hold that bottle up for me? Straight up.
Yeah.
What have Guru and Jason Demetrio both got in common?
They're under the pump.
Yeah.
I was so scared there.
Was it worth it? I don't know.
It was 100% worth it.
Absolutely.
Oh, as soon as you said, can you pick that up? I was like, I fucking know where it's going. Great minds think alike.
Good halves pairing over here.
That's great stuff. Yeah, we're a good 6 and 7.
Yeah.
We are. We're a great good
that's
six
and
seven.
That's one of your best, I think. And it's a good catalogue.
Boys, what are your thoughts on them off the mark? Or just give us your thoughts on the situation.
Yeah. There's reports going around that, you know, if he doesn't win this weekend, it'll be the end of him. The players just aren't playing for Jado. Mm. It's that simple. I mean, you know, like they scored that try on the weekend. I think they scored first. They scored early. Scored first through Isaac Thompson. Mate, they couldn't get past second tackle after that. Like, how on earth, when you've got the players that you do on that side, does the call not just go out? Just hold the fucking football. Just get through a set, get ourselves into the grind. And South Sydney just refused to do it. And then you have brain explosions like from Latrell. Like, I personally think he's got very lucky to get 3 weeks.
Oh, very lucky.
I think it should have been much more than that. That was just, like, how long have we known that you cannot put your arm between the players of a legs? Between their legs.
So he got it for the striking.
Okay, sure. But the ill discipline when your team is in as much trouble as they are to, like, it's just ridiculous.
Well, I think it's just a symptom of the environment is terrible at the club right now. Like, and that's what we spoke about. Even in my season preview, I said basically it was like South Sydney Symphony. You know, are they all in sync? Are they all on board? They absolutely aren't. Like, they are not in sync at all.
And yeah, like I quite often give shit to Matty for 12 months ago when we're at the Caxton and Magic Ground, him running around going, who's going to beat us? And at the time, it wasn't, shut the fuck up, Matty, you've been over the top. It was, shut the fuck up, Matty, we know.
Yeah.
No one's going to beat you. You're that good right now. To look at where they are now, less than 12 months later, they are an absolute shell of what they used to be. And you can blame Latrell, you can blame Hawke, you can blame whoever you want. Mate, you could put Joey at halfback and Lockie at fullback in this side. If the forward pack's going to play the way they are, they stand no hope.
Yeah, and like, look, the key players absolutely have to take responsibility, and they do take responsibility, but unfortunately, this is a side that is, we talked about the Bulldogs, you know, how they've reacted to Sorraldo. This side is not reacting to Demetrio. What do you reckon, Timmy?
Yeah, I mean, firstly with Latrell, is he the problem with the Bunnies? No. Is he a problem at the Bunnies? Yeah, he is. His form isn't where it needs to be. Despite the poor form, there's also been a lot of good things that he's done across the start of the season.
Well, even in the game, you know, he's some really soft hands for that first try. And we know he can do that.
But I just look at stuff, and you mentioned Kempy, like the, you can tell, it just looks like the weight of the world's on his shoulders and all this pressure's building up, then it leads to doing dumb things. It's like, just things like the media scrutiny off the back of the post-game interview a few weeks ago was so avoidable, and it's like he's put that on himself. And then you look at the two incidents on the weekend from the shot on Johnson, which there was that, and there was the through the legs, the lifting tackle. When there's penalties in the heat of the moment and it's like, you know, a little fleet foot fullback steps inside and you clock him high or something happens, you go, okay, it happens, like it's rape league, accidents happen. Neither of these two things were accidents. They were completely avoidable. The second one, where he put his arms between the legs, the score was 6-4 at that time. The Warriors got a penalty from that, marched him downfield, and they scored two tackles later. He's let his teammates down with two very dumb plays. Like, if you're sitting there and he's the star of your team, not that anyone's excusable for doing that, but particularly the star of your side, you sit there and go, oh, mate, like, why? Like, yeah. We're battling our ass to stay in this contest, to get a win, climb back up the ladder against one of the best sides in the competition, and that happens. It's like, you can't excuse that.
Mm. Oh, for sure. There's no, you know, anyone that tries to excuse those two brain explosions, it's like, mate. Like, are you being for real like that?
One of them is a brain explosion. To do it twice, it's like, come on.
Mm. It's just, yeah, and that's why I think that, you know, the Rabbitohs need to use this opportunity with Trell and the playing group is like, give this is an opportunity to go, you know what, you're not playing for 3 weeks, but you've got an opportunity to rip in and show the boys how much you care.
I think you're right, Kempy. I think it's going to be a blessing in disguise for Latrell's form because it goes one of two ways. Either Jai Gray comes in, he struggles, the Rabbitohs lose games, and Latrell sits there and has time to think about it and goes, fired, I've let the boys down, I could be out there helping them out. And he comes back fired up. Alternatively, Jai Gray kills it, they win a few games, and he goes, oh shit, like my spot at fullback's under pressure, they might move me to centre, I've got to come back in and show that I'm the man in this team. Either way, I think Latrell's come back from this ready to roll.
Yeah, I genuinely think you can, if you've got a, the problem is, that's if you've got a good environment to take advantage of a bad situation. At the moment, I don't think they've got a good environment.
And you know what? There was obviously, you know, the elbow to SJ. There was the moment with Tui Harris. But fuck, if I was at South Sydney, the moment that I would be sitting down with Latrell and watching in the video was the moment when Jack Whiten got down the left side and he was looking for Latrell to wrap around him. Latrell just walks next to him for like 3 or 4 seconds. And I'd... Like, you would not be able to find a tape of another fullback in the competition doing that. And this is a team under the pump with a superstar there. That's the moment that I'd be showing Latrell going, mate, we can't have this.
Mm.
You are the most that is the number one thing that every opposition side wants you to do.
Mm.
And you could even tell Jack, you know, as close as that, Jack was looking at him going, the fuck are we doing?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, we're seeing this is a real symptom of just a the environment is poison. And I hate to bring it up, but the fact is Burgess made some hard truths known about, and Burgess has come out and said, look, there's no issue with the playing group. My issue was with the way it was being run. Essentially, I'm not quoting him, but that's the gist of what Burgess, the issue that he had. Look, I'm not inside the four walls at the Rabbitohs, but outside looking in, it looks like Sam Burgess was bang on the money that, unfortunately, Demetrio is not running the place. Like, for example, here's another one. Peter Momazelis gets re-signed. He is way too good to be sitting in reserve grade. A lot of us would have Havili, you know, maybe starting 14 or whatever. But at the same time, there is no way he re-signed that contract. And this is pure speculation, but there's no way, in my opinion, he re-signed that contract thinking he wasn't going to be playing NRL that year. He waits, what, full 5 weeks to get on the bench, and then he gets on for like 10 minutes at the end of a game that's already over?
In a game that you lose 34-4.
Yeah, and so it's like that suggests to me that there's no that the communication between head coach and player either isn't there or players are being told one thing but another thing's happening. We've also got the Josh Mansell interview where that was the case. And so... Unfortunately, I think Demetrio's days are numbered. I really do. I know it's very early, but we have to remember this is now, what is it, 16 games and 4 wins?
Five wins, 15 losses. So it's 5 from 20.
So 5 from 20 with that roster.
Yeah, it's unacceptable.
Five of his last 20.
Yes. Yeah, so he's won 5 of his last 20.
Yeah, and that's not a cellar-dwelling team. That's like a team that was leading the comp. You just said it, Guru. Like,
before that 20, they were close to undefeated, weren't they?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And like, I don't disagree with you guys when you said that, you know, this could be a blessing in disguise. But they take on the Sharkies this week, coming off a bye. They've had 2 weeks to prepare for this game. They then have a bye themselves, South Sydney. So it makes sense for me that JD will probably depart at the end of this week, give them 2 weeks to prepare for Melbourne and Penrith.
Yeah, it's rough.
It's rough as guts.
Yeah, and look, you know, administration needs to take responsibility for this as well. They just re-signed Demetrio after all that Burgess stuff happened. And maybe maybe they didn't like the way the Burgess was delivered, the you know, I guess the communication of it. Maybe that's the case. But at the end of the day, the report is that he had an issue with the way Demetrio was running that side. Mm. And unfortunately, the evidence would suggest he was correct. Now, maybe like correlation doesn't mean causation or whatever, so maybe there's other things that have happened since then. But with the information that we have right now, it looks like a team that unfortunately isn't being run correctly.
So it's 5 wins, 13 losses. Five wins, 13 losses, and the wins were against the Gold Coast, the Warriors last year, which was a good win, the Tigers, the Dragons, and the Bulldogs.
The Warriors one was in that torrential rain over NZ.
What do you think about the situation, Matty?
Yeah, it seems like that Sam Burgess was right. There was a pretty telling article that came out this morning from Michael Chamis, just detailing everything. I'd implore anyone to go have a read of it. But yeah, he mentioned in there that apparently club officials were under the impression that Mamazelos was going to have a 1-2 punch with Cook this year, and then he went against it last minute. So that's just one of the few things that they've listed. It just, you're right, it's not a roster problem. The roster's great. The roster's a good roster. It's a top 8 roster. So why are they playing so poorly? You're right. Like, it's not like there's a couple of players playing well. Everyone's playing really badly. And the other fact is about, I think I counted 10 players are contracted from 2026 onwards. And these are a lot of high profile players on big money. Like, this roster ain't changing. So yeah, I think the next step is probably going to be Demetrio's probably going to lose his job.
Yeah. And as I said, like, if you don't get me wrong, Latrell, Cody Walker, their form, and all the other boys, like Ilias wasn't the best, and I know he's not as big a name as those boys, but and even their front rowers and their forwards. So their form hasn't been good. So that is a problem in the situation. But when everyone's form is bad, then that's when you have to go, okay, is the problem is the players to a degree, but at the same time, is it the environment that's creating this bad form, or is it the players that are creating this bad form? I don't know. And as I said, I'm not sitting here saying the players shouldn't take responsibility. They do. They're the ones that cross the line every 80 minutes. But at the end of the day, yes, it is a player's job to play that 80 minutes as hard as they can, all that stuff. But it's a coach's job to get the best out of them. That's literally their job, to get the best out of their players. And at the moment, there's not a single player that's getting the best out of him.
I was told by two separate people on Saturday morning that Ilias had been given indication that he'd be back in soon too.
Damn.
Whether that's true or not, don't know how you want to read into that, but
well, look,
give me the hot tip if I've heard it. Hawkins has probably heard it.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, it's just another strike against JD dropping him too early because he's clearly not the problem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's just another strike against Demetrio's decision-making on key situations that hasn't worked. Like, for example, Havili gets that 14 role. He's not even the side anymore. Like,
as soon as Ilias got dropped and they got pumped by the Roosters the next week, the first thing I thought was, wow, all the pressure's off Ilias now, he'll come straight back into first grade. So I didn't mind that he dropped him, but I thought he'd come back pretty quickly after that because he would have come back into the team and there's no real pressure on him. Well, there is pressure on him, but not as much pressure as there was in round two. So yeah, there's a long list of things.
If he was fit this week, I think Ilias shits in.
Surely he's in. Yeah, if he was fit this week, he'd be in for sure, surely. I thought it was probably a little bit too early to drop Ilias. But again, we're on the outside looking in. JD should have been aware that Ilias wasn't the problem. Do you know what I mean? Because that's his job. He's in there. He can see what's going on. He sees all the stats. He sees all the numbers. So it's okay for us to be wrong about it. Even if we said, yep, it was the right decision to drop him. It's okay for us to be wrong about it because it's not our job to be a head coach of a team. It's not our job to make. We can just have our opinion outside looking in and say, you know what? We got that one wrong. Unfortunately, JD made that decision and it was clearly the incorrect decision. And that's just another strike against the current environment at the club. But look, there's I guess the storm is brewing that Bennett could return. honestly, their most obvious option forward, if Bellier, you know, isn't going to retire, and I don't think Bellier will ever coach another team other than the Storm, but let's just say he's going to fully retire and he's not going to coach another team. I think their obvious, this is what I think their most obvious path forward would be if Demetrio is not going to be there. They bring in Wayne, He has the clout and the ability to clean out people that need to be cleaned out, as in administration-wise or whatever. The people, put it this way, people that sent Sam on his way. And then I think that he's also a player person that can bring Sam back in a couple of years' time, maybe 2026.
Wayne can write his own check going back in there, can't he? If they want him bad enough, he can just be like, I'll name my price.
Name my price. And the thing is we know that Wayne can work with Cody Walker. He can work with Latrell Mitchell, Jackie Whiten as well. Oh. That roster under Wayne, you know, we know that's a different situation.
Sam walking out ages worse every single week. It gets worse week and week. Every loss, like you could argue he's the biggest club legend of the modern era. Crazy.
And look, who knows? Like, it's not to say that Sam's, you know, perfect and he did everything perfectly. Maybe he did communicate it incorrectly. Maybe he made some wrong steps. But the thrust of his argument of this is not being run correctly seems to be true.
Isn't it amazing? Like, straight away the attention turns to Wayne Bennett, and I'm sure there's every chance he will come back. I'll give you the hot tip. If I'm 75 years old, the last thing in the world I want to do is walk in and try and clean up this mess. But it's crazy. He could do it in a couple of months.
Honestly, maybe less. I reckon he could do it in about 3 or 4 weeks. He could clean that up. Because you know the players would immediately respond to him.
Yeah. And this is where I had a mate that's a diehard Southsydney fan. He says, I mean, the problem is we've got too many guys that are over the hill. And I'm like, you're telling me that if Wayne Bennett coached that team next week, you wouldn't see the best out of Cody Walker, Damien Cook, these sort of guys? Bullshit.
Yeah, no way. And look, we can focus on Cody Walker and Trell, but like, how many times did Cookie get out of dummy half and there was no forwards with him? No forwards. Like, that forward pack, unfortunately, is like, it's a bottom four forward pack right now, if I'm being brutally honest.
They completed at 60%.
Like, what? I do think as well, I think Cam Murray needs more power to be able to go, boys, this is not good enough. Now, I know he's not the type of player to be, you know, to talk a lot. He shows through his actions. But, I think that the club's got to fully get behind him and just go, mate, you're the future. And ironically, if Sam Burgess was there, there's one player to be getting behind, it'd be Cam Murray. Yeah. But it's a disaster.
Let me just say, first and foremost, I am soft as butter as they come, but I don't know how some of those forwards are making eye contact with Cam Murray during the week.
Mate, it's like,
the amount of effort that he's putting in, week out, and what he's getting from some of the other guys in his team, it's just, and you know, once again, without, you know, piling on JD, see how many minutes Talas Duncan played this weekend? 21.
I don't get it.
What's doing?
Like, when your four pack's playing that bad and Jai Arrow isn't there, it's like, surely just back the guy in.
What have you got to lose?
Bizarre. And like, it's not like you've got origin level forwards just like totally keeping him out of the side. It's like, there's an opportunity to give this kid a crack. It's right now.
Well, this is the thing. Like, I'm looking at their side on the weekend and like, respectfully to him, he's just had a very tough few weeks. So I'm looking and going, I can't pick Sean Kepi next week.
Oh, no way.
After that performance, there is just not a hope in hell I can. And then I look and I go, well, who do I replace him with? Maybe I do pick Sean Kepi all of a sudden because there just isn't much doing there. But to have Talas Duncan on the side and just not be playing him for 20 minutes, one of the best young guys in the game. And I'm so confident that whoever the new coach that comes in, I reckon they play Talas Duncan for more minutes. It's just going to make JD look worse.
Mm. The progression of Davey Miley's got me scratching my head too. He got promoted to the starting team against the Broncos, and then he got dropped last week. And then in New South Wales Cup, he plays 70 minutes and kills it.
70 minutes.
Scored the first try, didn't he? Too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, one of the best young forwards literally in the game. Literally in the game. I got to put my hand up. I really thought Kepi was going to be a really good buy for the Rabbitohs. Now, maybe later in the year that will come true. And I thought he was outstanding his first game. And he was outstanding in the trials, but the last couple of games, unfortunately, just...
David Mowally, 69 minutes, a try, 272 metres.
Oh. Now, that's a response you want from a player getting dropped.
But then it's also like, that player should never be getting dropped.
Why was he dropped?
Yeah, what do you reckon about the Rabbitohs, man?
I think you said it all. Very disappointing, very underwhelming, and definitely a very talented roster that's just not buying in at the moment. I think the brain explosions of Latrell just kind of sum up the whole situation at the moment. But, it's going to be very tough for him to turn it around. Pretty tough ask. I mean, Guru covered off who they've got coming up next to basically go, you're coaching for your career. what are we going to find out next week without Latrell? They're $2.80 outsiders against the Sharks that we probably don't already know.
Fortunately for me, like, even if they were to go and jag a win against Sharks, it's not enough for me, to be honest. With that roster, I think the writing's on the wall, unfortunately.
What team would you pick this week? Like, for me...
be going Jai Gray at fullback?
Yep.
I would be strongly considering putting Whiten at 6, Walker at 7.
I think Walker has to be the 7 this week.
Because unfortunately Hawkins like 3-2 unforced errors on the weekend.
Mate, if you're a coach that's coaching through his career this week, how can you not put the ball in Cody Walker's hands?
Yeah. And I know he's,
if you're JD, I want to know, okay, do you give a fuck or not? Let's put it in the hands of, you know, Latrell's not there, Cody Walker's the next man up. Let's find out for myself. Do they want me here or not?
Yeah.
And you'll know pretty quickly.
Yeah. Fortunately, it's a disaster. And you never wish a bloke to lose his job. Like, it makes me feel sick talking about this kind of stuff because it's so serious. But fortunately, we've got to call it like it is, and it just has not worked. It has not worked. And it hasn't worked for a while.
Can't wait to see Jai Gray.
Oh, I cannot wait. And you know what? I can't wait to see Trell bounce back because he's been through tough times in his career before, and we've seen him bounce back. We've absolutely seen him bounce back. And, you know, yes, brain explosion. Yes, he's let his teammates down. And yes, he's done some silly things this year. But at the end of the day, there's a human underneath that all. And, like, that pressure, being Latrell Mitchell, an iconic person in Australian sport, it's a lot. It's a lot. And, yeah, look, other players have dealt with it. I get all that. But just... remember the human, I think. Just remember the person.
I think that's such a good point because everyone calls him a grub because he does all this stuff. But the fact is, after the Joey Manu thing, he didn't get suspended until the last round of last year. Like, he has the ability to clean up his act, which he has in the past. Clearly, he's just frustrated.
And like, the Joey Manu thing was what,
2021.
So we're talking 3 years ago.
3 years.
Like, very rarely with a player... do you try to bring up something that happened 3 years ago to go, oh, yeah, like, that's just how he is. Like, I know he's on the edge of the line, but as you said, he hasn't been suspended, so...
he'll come back in 3 or so weeks and rip and tear.
Yeah, I think so. I got faith in him. Like,
he got suspended once last year, but it was for a bullshit reason.
Yeah, I got faith in Trell. He'll be back. I got faith in him.
Latrell is going to miss 3 weeks. They have a bye in that, so it's going to be 4 weeks until he's back, which means he returns round 10. When are Origin teams picked? End of round 12-ish, around that mark?
Yeah, look... I would be, you know, if I was to advise Trell, it's not like us advising Trell, he's a superstar, he's done everything in the game, but I would just be like, mate, just rip and tear. Get your body in the fittest shape it's ever been, because that's the strongest message that you can send. If you get in really good nick and you come back, because that's all actions, that's not words, that's not talent, that's pure dedication and hard work, then genuinely, if there's one bloke that can turn this around for the Rabbitohs, it is Latrell Mitchell. There's very few people in the NRL that could, past and present. Latrell Mitchell is definitely one of them. So I'll back him in. Hopefully he can bounce back. But he definitely has to show the boys that that was a mistake and that he's going to earn back the, you know, what happened.
Because, I mean, like, at the end of the day, like, I would argue this has probably been Latrell's worst 5 games on the trot we've probably ever seen so far. It'd be right up there.
Well, he was great in round one.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He scored 2 tries. He's had 2 tries. He's had 25 tackle breaks, 2 line breaks. And like, it couldn't have gone much worse for them in the first 5 weeks. So if they can find something and Latrell can just turn it up a notch,
and also,
he can turn
this
very quickly.
His forward pack has been very awful, like below average. And so for all the other outside backs that we give, you know, grace to and go, forward pack's getting dominated, you know, so hopefully he can. But in saying that, all that being said, whether his form was 10 out of 10 or 5 out of 10, you just can't have those brain explosions for your teammates. Yep. You just cannot. Okay, that sucked talking about that. Made me feel like shit.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.